So look at me with your insert with Bonnie's story there. Again, and the title at the top is what she ended with, "Seek me with all of your heart." You know, the Lord is amazing in the sense that he knows when we're actually seeking him with all of our hearts and when we're not. And the place the Lord wants to bring us to, I believe, as Bonnie shared, is that place where we're truly seeking him with all of our heart. And it's interesting, as you look at her story, like she said, there are fits and starts. There are times where she's moving right along and things are going great, and then there are other moments where she might be going backwards or she's kind of stalled. Kind of sounds like our lives as well, doesn't it? And the reality, though, that she shares with us that I think is so important is that the Lord was with her every step of the way. And that the Lord also invited her in her journey to experience the fellowship of other believers, other sisters in Christ, that really encouraged her and really challenged her in a way like never before. And so, Bonnie, thank you for sharing your story. It's so powerful and so true. If you flip over your insert, you'll notice the piece I'd like to share with you. This is one of the devotionals that Alicia shared this past week. And again, this is the one that jumped out to me. You might have another devotional you did this past week in this book that really stuck with you. That's great. That's awesome. Just this happened to be the one that touched me. And as Bonnie shared about her journey, you know, the reality for us, again, in the journey of our lives is there'll be mountaintop experiences, and there'll be times where we'll be in the valley. And there'll be times where we're just kind of going along. It's part of being a human being. And in this particular devotional, Alicia is inviting us to fast from speeding past sorrow. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, when there's been something sorrowful or a struggle, I would want to bury it, especially if it was significant. Because sometimes those things are just so hard to go through and to deal with. And maybe even in your own life, you've kind of dealt with it the best you know how, and you've moved on, but it still kind of raises its head every once in a while, and you kind of ignore it and move on and get about your work. But one of the interesting things that she brings out in this reflection that I share with you today that I think is so timely is Jesus' example to us of how he handled sorrow. In this particular story, she shares about the time where Jesus gets word that John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod. You remember the story of the incredible dance where Herod was drunk and promised basically half his kingdom, and the dancer wanted the head of John the Baptist. And so Herod, not wanting to be made a public liar of everybody, ended up giving that to her. And it was a sad day in the kingdom when that happened. And so when Jesus hears this news, it says in Matthew 14, 13 on the insert there, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And so in the midst of this story, let me set the scene. Jesus is busy doing miracles. People are being healed. He's feeding people. He's about the work of the kingdom. And wonderful things are taking place. But when Jesus hears this news, it strikes him. It brings sorrow to his heart. And so because of that, what Jesus did was he didn't get busy with more ministry to mask the pain. He didn't try to focus his attention onto something else so that he didn't have to deal with the sorrow that was welling up inside of his heart. But what did he do? Very interesting. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He took time for that sorrow right then, in that moment. And I think Jesus' example to us is a portrait of how we're to live our lives as well in relationship to sorrow and to pain and to struggle. And this is what Alicia shares in the quote I have on this insert. Jesus set an example for us to set with our sorrow. He could have easily kept moving in an attempt to distance himself from sadness. Instead, Jesus sent everyone away and carved out space to pray in solitude, to be with that sorrow. I imagine as he spent time in that moment with the Father, he probably was in tears. He probably was pouring his heart out to God. I mean, here was John the Baptist, the forerunner of his ministry. Somebody that was right in the trenches with him in the kingdom of God, killed beheaded for the faith. And so this broke Jesus' heart, and he was pouring out his heart before the Father. I'm sure he was in tears. I'm sure his heart was broken about what had happened. And so Jesus gives us the example of taking the time to cry. Jesus gives us the example of taking the time for our sorrows and our pain and our hurt, to honor that part of our humanity, that part of our experience. And if it continues to be a part of our life, to go back to it if we need to, as much as we need to, that there might be full and complete healing. Which brings me to the next part of this message. You'll notice on the insert, there's a whole section there, half of the page, carving out time for you. And I believe this is so important that we're going to carve out a little bit of time for you right now. And you can take this, please take this home with you. If you need to fill out more later today or through this week, feel free. But I want to spend just a few moments right now for you. And you'll notice in your pews, there's a pencil. Maybe you have a pen, whatever you want to use. And I want you to ask the question right now in your own heart. Is there something, some experience, or someone that is still bringing you sorrow, that brings tears to your heart? There's a brokenness there that still remains. Or maybe it's something recent for you that is a struggle for you, a situation. I want to invite you just to take a moment right now, and I'm just going to be quiet, to write that down right now and put that on your sheet that you'll be taking with you in just a moment or two. So please take a moment to do that right now. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Somebody at the earlier service had something in mind, and as they paused for a moment or two, the Spirit brought something else to mind, which was really the heart of the focus and some real healing. So anyways, give you a couple moments. So as you're taking a moment to write down this feeling, this thought, this awareness about this person or situation, so that you can begin to move from speeding past this sorrow to spending some time with it or with them and with the Lord for healing. Last summer, I had a chance to go on a men's retreat called Life Relaunch. It's actually a retreat we've been sharing with you over the past few months because for the men who have gone on it, it's proven to be incredibly powerful. And I've been on a lot of retreats all my life, lots and lots of retreats. But this one in particular was very powerful for me because of a particular situation that took place for me that came completely out of the blue. Didn't see it coming, didn't expect it, but it was certainly a God moment for me. As we were in a moment of reflection during this retreat on an area like this, there was a memory that came to mind for me of my sister Lisa. We were in the kitchen area, and she was a young baby in a high chair. And we were just there. I was there. I was the oldest. My parents were there as well. And she was over by a coffee pot. And she grabbed a hold of the cord and pulled that scalding hot coffee all over her body. And she ended up dying from those injuries later. And as a young boy, I don't even remember how old I was. I might have been 3 or 4, maybe even 2. I just don't know. I just remember pictures. I don't remember a lot other than just wondering about her over time, wishing that never would have happened, wishing she was still here, and wanting to have some kind of connection with her and just having a great sense of loss, which my family felt as well. And so during that moment, during that prayer, just like we had, I just began to cry and began to get in touch with some feelings and some emotions that obviously had been in my spirit ever since that moment. And in that moment, last year, by God's divine providence, it was time to open up that door and to experience a healing in my relationship with that experience and in my relationship with Lisa, with the Lord, and with my family, with myself, with everybody. And just tears began to flow. And it was just a very emotional, powerful experience for me. And toward the end of that time, I had a vision, I had an image of Lisa being with the Lord. She was with the Lord. And I also had a vision of some angels around her as well. And the overwhelming sense I had was that Lisa is okay. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, I have her. I've always had her. And I'm taking care of her. And that was just tremendously comforting to me. I just needed to know that and to hear that. And just had an overwhelming sense that it wasn't my fault. As a kid, sometimes you kind of wonder about that stuff. It wasn't my fault. It was an accident, a tragic accident. But that in that moment, the Lord was bringing healing. The Lord was bringing comfort. The Lord was restoring my relationship with Lisa in a way that I needed it to be restored, and I believe in a way that she needed it to be restored as well. And so the reason why I share that story with you is because it's so timely with what we're sharing with you this weekend. You know, again, in my life, I thought, well, you know what, I worked through that as best as I knew how to. I felt like that was pretty well taken care of. But the Lord knew better. And the Lord can show up in the most amazing moments, especially when you least expect it, and open up a door in your heart to bring about a healing that you've always needed. And so I share this story with you in hope, as a word of hope to you, that that can happen, that can happen for you, and that will happen to you as you and I open our heart to the Lord.